The following episode originally aired in 1991.
Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is David Amram, a true Renaissance man, and he's my favorite symphony conductor besides being an accomplished composer, pianist, French horn virtuoso, penny whistle player, and various other sundry instruments. David, it's great to see you. I bet you can cook, too.
I do my best, Marion, and one of my favorite cooking experiences was the last one we had together with the Milwaukee Symphony when you were playing the piano and literally sauteing the Middle West when you and your trio played with the symphony. It was just a big thrill to be with you, as it always is.
That was a lot of fun doing both the Grant Park in Chicago and the Milwaukee Symphony. And then have you get up and play some jazz penny whistle with us. It's a kick.
Well, that's the magic of jazz. When in jazz, there's a saying that the leader is the follower, which comes from an old American Indian expression, which means that the person who is the band leader also is a good accompanist, also can be part of the group and part of the whole.
How about playing something before we go on talking, because you've got so much to talk about. I'd love to hear you play some piano.
Well, this is one of the pieces that I wrote back in 1960. And Jerry Mulligan, whom I've always admired as a wonderful writer, musician, virtuoso, told me he liked the song. It was for the film Splendor in the Grass, and Jerry recorded it. One of my thrills was when he sent me the CD and recorded this piece so beautifully. So I thank Jerry for doing that.
And that's the name of it, Splendor in the Grass.
Yes, it's the theme from Splendor in the Grass. It was Warren Beatty's first movie. And I used jazz. We had Buster Bailey and a lot of great jazz artists, because it was supposed to take place in the 20s, actually playing on the soundtrack, one of the first films that used jazz and symphony music. I wrote the music, orchestrated it, conducted it, and also played in it. And this is the theme.
You just didn't do enough things. That's your problem, you know. That was a pretty big assignment to write a song for that movie, wasn't it, as a young...
Yeah, well, I wrote the whole score.
Well, had you already learned to orchestrate?
Yeah, well, I had been writing chamber music, and I was what they call in country and Western music a rumor in my own mind. I'd written a great deal of music already. Actually, I had done a lot of music for Shakespeare in the Park. I'd written... By that time, autobiography for strings.
Well, wait, how did you get out of Pennsylvania? I've got to find out. How did you get out of Pennsylvania?
Well, we moved to Washington, D.C., and my dad sold a farm with his brother and sister in 1942. We moved to Washington, D.C., and there, about the second year, when I was 12 years old, I met a great man named Lewis Brown, whom Duke Ellington wrote about in his book, describing him as one of his mentors. And Lewis Brown was then, I would say, in his 70s when I met him.
This was 19... a player, pianist?
Yes, he was a magnificent pianist. And I went to a party with kids that brought their instruments. So I brought my trumpet, and he kind of singled me out. And he said, you have something natural. He said, I want you to come down and play with our band. So I went down to the southeast section of Washington, D.C., 1943. I was 12 years old, to an Elks Club. And they had this incredible band playing. And all the people...
All kids?
No, these were all grown-ups.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they let me play with them. And... all these players were so great, and they kind of took me under their wing. And when people ask me why I enjoy doing programs for kids, that's one of the reasons, because when I was a kid, I was befriended by this magnificent musician who kind of took me on as a mascot.
Well, you've done a lot of programs for kids, haven't you? It seems to me that's one of the big things in your career.
Well, you know, at the Brooklyn Academy, they had me start in 1970 because they were throwing paper clips and spitballs and gliders at the orchestra, and were about to cancel the series. So they figured since they tried everything else with rock and roll musicians, with electronic instruments and with slide projections, maybe they should try to get some music.
So That's a last resort.
So they called me up because of my background in jazz and Latin music and folk music, as well as being a symphony composer and kind of budding conductor, I guess you might say, or struggling, fumbling conductor. And I began to include not only Mozart and Beethoven and Bartok and Stravinsky, Charles Ives, Gershwin. We also did music of Duke Ellington, music of Thelonious Monk, music of the jazz composers that I had known and been brought up with. And I also brought in jazz artists, Wynton Marsalis, Betty Carter.
Oh, so this is all fairly recent.
So many of those great players played with us with their first symphony concerts in New York. But before Wynton came, which I believe was 1980 when he was still in school, we had people in the early 1970s come and also play and perform, and I played myself. And then we started doing concerts in the parks in Brooklyn because people liked that.
Well, did all these kids catch on to this music? I mean, it sounds like a pretty heavy program.
Immediately, because the way I tried to present it was just to be real and share with them the same feelings I had and all the musicians in the orchestra had about music and what a beautiful thing it was to play music and to listen to music. I also used pieces that had audience participation where they could clap the clave, and we'd do son montunos and wawancos and mambos. Then sometimes we would do the blues, and I would have them sing.
That's great.
Different parts after they heard everything else. I'd explain to them how if they were singing along with the orchestra, singing some blues and finger popping, they were part of the music.
Hey, before we go on, how about if you and I play another tune?
Terrific.
Something we both know. How about that?
Great.
Georgia.
All right.
You want to start it out?
Sure.
Well, and this isn't even your main instrument. We haven't even talked about that yet. I mean, piano is just a sideline. And weren't you one of the sort of original jazz French horn players?
Well, Julius Watkins and myself and both started playing in the late 1940s. I didn't know Julius until I came to New York in 1955. And we subsequently played with Oscar Pettiford's band for 2 years and made a lot of records together. Whole bunch of them, some of which are being reissued, some of which are still down there in the great bathysphere of obscurity, but I know we'll come back again.
I haven't heard that music for such a long time. I do remember Julius Watkins. and yourself years ago, but there's so much going on and so much happened that it's hard to keep up with everything. You know what might be fun? If you could play something on the French horn. I'll see if I can back you up. And so you can show everybody just how easy it is to play jazz on the French horn, or you make it easy.
Sure, well, it's all music, and every instrument can be used to play jazz if you love it and you put your heart into it and are humble enough to ask masters, what do I do next?
I guess that's how you got to play it as well as you do, by just...
Oh, thank you. I'm still trying to learn at 60, but this is a tune by my mentors, Thelonious Monk.
What's this, Blue Monk?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Just know that's not easy to do. That is not run-of-the-mill playing on the French horn. Did you have a teacher, or did you go to Juilliard or one of these places to learn how to do that?
Well, I learned a French horn from a lot of wonderful teachers. As far as playing jazz, I guess you'd say I'm a graduate of the Conservatory of Hangoutology.
Yeah, but I mean, you never went to I mean, I know you play classical music on the French horn, didn't you ever?
Yes, I did, especially when I was a kid. I don't anymore because, as you know, you could only do so many things in life, and I try whenever I can to always do it as well as I can or not at all, or just keep it at home. But I knew that this was an F7 with that in the bass. And that there were certain notes that would fit into other notes. And from the science of the music, I learned, and I'm still learning, how to play within the harmonic framework. And all the rest comes from a lifetime of listening. And also, Dizzy said, if you can sing it, you can play it. So we would go, skidadoobadoob, shittyadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoob,
beepadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobado also said that, or he made all his students sing everything that they played. Well, one of the things that you did that was the high point of our last concert, I think, was when we got through playing all the arranged stuff, and then you came out and joined me and the bass player and drummer, and you played the Tin Whistle. I think that absolutely knocked everybody out.
I thought it was a beautiful way to end the concert. First of all, I thank you for giving me that honor of playing with you. And I think it's a very healthifying message.
I think people were really surprised, the ones that don't know you, to see you come down there and play the Tin Whistle. In fact, wouldn't it be fun? Why can't we do one now? I mean, we don't have bass and drums, but I'll do my best.
Great, I could play the Tin Whistles and the Dumbek for our grand finale.
Okay. Do I get to play a couple of choruses?
Please.
All right, what are we going to do?
Well, since we spoke about Duke in the beginning and what an influence he's been on all of us, I guess we could end with Billy Strayhorn's beautiful composition that was his theme, Take the A-Train.
Terrific.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.